Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Hello there. Welcome to the new reality. I hope that you're doing well health-wise. It's really important that we do social distancing now so that we don't create an exponential increase in how many people are infected and that we slow down the number of cases of illness that are coming up at any given time, what's called flattening the curve. And the need to do this is creating a tremendous amount of strain on many of us. And I thought that I would take a minute just to talk a little bit about what happens when you start to feel discouraged about that. And I would say, you know, no matter how much you practice and how, you know, much of a stiff upper lip you can maintain, it's pretty hard not to get discouraged when things are so radically different and when they're radically different for such a long period of time. So that's to say that it's natural at this point in time to feel things, to feel nervous, to feel scared, to feel depressed, to get angry. All those sort of stages of grief that we talk about when there's a loss. We have a loss right now going on, a loss of our typical life, and we're being asked to deal with it in a variety of ways. So I hope that you can find for yourself a way that is sustainable, at least in the short term, and know that, you know, that's probably a good way to think about it in the short term. What am I doing right now? And as things evolve, I'll deal with those things as they evolve. That way you don't have to worry about fixing everything forever, because that can really lend to the feeling of being overwhelmed. Instead, I'm just going to deal with what's going on for me now in this shorter term, and that will be helpful. You know, there's often lots of language that we have about silver linings and, you know, what is the gift of this? What is the lesson of that? Things like that can come up, and they can be useful. They're a bit what the Yoga Sutras call pratipaksha bhavanam, or to create the opposite mood of something that that is a negative pattern in us. So when you start to feel depressed, you can instead look for how can I look at this in the opposite way, or in a way that doesn't have that same degree of a negative pattern looping me into something that is depressing or frightening or angering, etc. So it's a useful way, it's a useful step. Altogether, though, I think that this situation that we're having to deal with can really sort of jumpstart us. And there are articles around some of this as we go. Probably the most valuable articles, quote unquote, are the ancient wisdom texts like the Bhagavad Gita, the Yoga Sutras, the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and depending on what your own practice is, you know, there are many, many books about that. Even in the contemporary application of some of the Buddhist practices, Pema Chodron wrote a book called Comfortable with Uncertainty. You know, these are the kinds of profound ways, deeper perspectives on what life is really about, that something like what's going on with the coronavirus, and I love that it's called the novel coronavirus, are teaching us, or could help to teach us in this time. So all of these texts, all of this great wisdom, all of this deeper learning says that the nature of our contentment or our happiness doesn't come from circumstances outside of us. That the nature of the world that we experience is up and down. It's good and bad. It's a cause and effect game, right? In the some of the yoga texts, it's called a great dance or great, you know, dramatic outpouring. And all of the things that get done in that realm trigger other things to get done. You know, the most simple way, you know, you punch someone, they punch you back. So that notion in yoga is called karma. And it's maybe useful to separate that idea from the way we usually use karma in our, you know, typical exchanges, our lighthearted exchanges about, well, you know, is that you're going to get paid back for that way you've been a jerk to someone else. The notion of karma is somewhat larger, and it's that everything that's going on is creating an impact on everything else. So in a way, what we're experiencing right now is a result of all of the things that have gone on over the past, I don't know, however many hundreds of years. The way that we're connected right now globally, the way that we're set up economically, the way that our society is placed values on some things and not on others, this is all a result of motivation and the way that we have grasped for things, the way that we have acted in a way to get something. And, you know, many of the yoga texts would say we're trying to get things because we think that we own these things or we deserve these things or we will find our happiness in these things. So it's not that things themselves have any positive or negative value. They're just things, right? They're in this realm of existence that we participate in some of the time. And when we're doing that, if we simply allow them to be things, like there's food in front of us, so we acknowledge that this food provides something to us and we eat it, that's a different way of orienting from saying, I want to have loads of food, and yeah, that's going to, you know, take this food from someone else, but I don't care because I need the food, and I'm going to look out for me, and so let's go buy up all the food, which is something that we're seeing explicitly playing out in grocery stores right now, right? Whether it's food or how ridiculous toilet paper, right? And so the two different approaches to things will have different ramifications karmically, right? In the cause and effect, in the dominoes of occurrences in living. So one of the things that we're able to discern from looking at our lives outside of us is that the things that we do are going to have an impact. There's a well-known Native American approach to this fact, which is to say when we take an action, let's look at the effect seven generations out, right? That everything I'm doing, I'm not just going to look at what it does for me, but I'm going to look at what it will mean to my children and my children's children and so forth into seven generations down, and letting that be the determinant of which action should I take. It's a very wise thought, right? And so right now, as we're in a situation where all of a sudden, in literally the blink of an eye, we're being asked to live in a radically different way, we can say, okay, I'm doing this for myself and those around me and those around me and those around those who are around them and so forth, right? So that gives us a societal perspective on things that we've really been sadly lacking to a great degree. To go one step deeper still, karmically speaking, when we ask for something, I want that, I'm going to get that, it also implies its opposite at the same time, because the nature of our nature is one of opposites. So as I call for me to be really rich or me to be really full of all the goodies that make me feel pleasured, they also imply that somehow the opposite is taking place at the same time, that someone else is going to be without, someone else is going to be somehow made to provide for me those pleasures. And in that, you see how there's always this like good and bad going on. If we only want the good, we're only striving for that, and we're never looking at what those who don't have that are having to put up with or having to cope with, then we're artificially creating an illusory framework of life, right? Where in essence, what yogis call this is avidya, like we're living in confusion or ignorance of what's actually taking place. So instead, what all of the great texts are suggesting is, do what you think is best in every moment. Don't be attached to certain outcomes. Don't be attached to getting certain things for your happiness. But rather see everything as a kind of a gift that's arriving at your doorstep, and that every action that you do is not done for you, but it's literally done as a kind of an offering, as part of the play, right? Like, if you're in a team and you do an effort for the team, that teamwork is a whole different way of going, as opposed to like in a sports team, if one person is trying to grab all the glory and it feels like everyone else is just supporting that glory-grabbing team member, right? So this notion of offering, doing what I can do, serving, right? Living, taking what I need. And this can get kind of stuck in a feeling of I'm supposed to sacrifice or I'm supposed to not have anything pleasurable. It's not that you don't need that. And I would advise everybody to maybe take a peek at this film called Babette's Feast, if you can stream that from somewhere now, where a woman who wins a lottery provides this amazing feast, but no one in the town is willing to appreciate it because they're in this frame of mind in which no, any enjoyment is negative, right? So there's a nuance to this. So I don't want to say too much more about this now. It's kind of a hefty load to process. But I do want to take this opportunity to say one of the best ways to understand this is to have a deeper experience of who am I? And we gain that through contemplative practice, through meditation. And in the meditation, we create a spaciousness in our minds that lets us experience who we are at the level of consciousness. And when we have that experience, then we gain the ability to see things more clearly. And in the seeing things more clearly, then all of this information that I just shared, all the information that's available in great texts or in nice quotes on Instagram or in nice books that reprocess things, like those by Pema Chodron or those by me, right? You are able to take the wisdom or the knowledge and mate it with experience and understanding that comes from your own inner processing. And that part can only come when you stop looking outward, stop the mental activity, stop the thinking it through, and have this experience of understanding firsthand. The Bhagavad Gita has this wonderful line where Krishna, literally the Lord of the universe, says, when you have your own experience, all of what's written is moot. It's all irrelevant because you already understand, right? So the two things are useful only together. Yeah. So with that in mind, let's do a little meditation. So if you are in an awkward place for meditating, you can just pause here and come back later. Wendy and I are going to lead a live version of Peter's podcast. Coming up soon, we're going to get online, have a chat, and invite you to join the chat too as a video chat on the Zoom platform. So this should be a great time. I'm looking forward to you doing it with us. If you'd like to know when, and you'd like to know kind of more about what is going on with me all the time, you can sign up for my mailing list. I hardly ever send anything out, but you can get on that mailing list by going to peterfurco.com and signing up there. I'll also make an announcement on a subsequent podcast to let you know when that is going to be. All right? So I hope you're well, and here's the meditation. Find yourself a comfortable seat. And from your comfortable seat, where you can easily tilt a little forward or back, or you feel like your breath can be full, your spine is in a nice upright, good posture, close your eyes, take your attention inward, and bring your focus right into the center line of your being. This center line, energetically, what tantricas learned, is by putting your focus in the center line of your body, from the pelvic floor, straight up through to the crown of your head. You're teaching yourself how to make this journey between the outward focus and that part of yourself that is consciousness itself, the consciousness that lights up the activity of your mind. So at your base right now, find a image for yourself of energy. So this might be most easily a ball of light, but maybe if you think to yourself, energy at my base, something else will occur to you, heat or a color or something like that. And perhaps visualizing is not that easy for you, so you just use the words for now and see if some sense emerges of your own base at the bottom of your body. And as you next breathe in, draw that energy up the center line as high up as the middle of your head. As you breathe out, return that energy back down to the base. And we're going to continue to do this like charging up an electromagnet. Each breath in, the energy moves up. Each breath out, the energy moves back down. In Tantra, we ascribe a resonance to this movement of energy. You can add that to make this a kriya practice, one that's very powerfully shifting your focus. as you're breathing in and the energy's moving up, silently resonate hum, silently. As you're breathing out and the energy's moving back down, silently resonate sa. So each breath, hum, energy up, sa, energy back down. If you get distracted, just pick up again. Hum up, sa back down. And this is all we're going to do in this practice today. So it's very good for getting your mind to focus, to move away from distraction, to put you in your center, to set you up for traveling between the outward world where we have to take care of business and the inward world where we touch our nature as consciousness. I'm going to leave you silent for 5 minutes now. take your attention now down to your legs. Let your chin lower a little towards your chest. Turn your palms so that they're facing right at where the thighs join the hips. Onto the thighs, massage from hip to knee, just bringing the sense of energy, maybe it feels kind of tingly or friction-like, back and forth from hip to knee. And then move around your knee joints, down your shins towards your ankles. And then unwind your legs enough that you can get at your feet and just give a little applause on your feet, like you're tapping the soles of your feet with your hands. Getting your, again, this like sense of a tingling down into your feet. Then extend your legs. If you're in a place where you can lie down, take 5 minutes, lie down in Shavasana and let your body rest. And at the end of your resting period, come back upright and have a wonderful day exploring this new reality, taking this minute as all that is, as something that has the potential for something that's being presented to you, that's literally where evolution of the entire universe has led you right now. Hari Om, Om Tat Sat, Namaste. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon, rate the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Namaste. Mm-hmm.